Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Well, 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 what do we have here?
I don't even know anymore.
A new
what do we have here?
A new podcast. That's what we have here.
It feels like it's been a little while.
We've been keeping it rolling. No, we've been every week. We've been on it.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're going to keep that party going this week. First of all, how are you doing today? Did you make it to the Delta Sigma Theta conference?
The annual big
convention.
It's happening as we record.
Really?
I am a virtual registrant and attendee.
Okay.
So I've been at all the plenaries.
Okay. What is opening, a plenary, by the way?
Business meeting.
Okay.
It's a business meeting.
Why don't you call it a business meeting?
Because it's probably
making it more mysterious.
It's a plenary. Now, I mean, it happens at other conferences and conventions. There are known plenaries.
Okay. No one else calls it a plenary. I've literally never seen a plenary before.
So when churches have their convenings, they call their business sessions plenaries.
Said differently.
I'm a Jack and Jill mom.
Okay.
Jack and Jill conferences and conventions, they have plenaries. It's not new to organizations follow Robert's rules of order. I know what you're going to say.
When highfalutin organizations and churches have stuff,
whatever,
they call it a plenary.
Okay. Yes.
Because I've been going to church my whole life. I ain't never been to no plenary. But okay. All right. I'll give it to you. And I will say, big shout to the women of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. How many years this year?
For me?
No. I mean, the sorority as a whole.
Oh, so we were founded in 1913. So
wow.
I'm done doing math for the day.
112?
That sounds right.
I'll go with that. 112.
Yes. And it's the 57th National
plenary?
Convention.
How many plenaries? Y'all don't even
there
count
are multiple plenaries,
no plenaries.
There are multiple plenaries at each convention.
Oh gosh.
Because different things happen.
Might be the 213th plenary.
We might even be higher than that. But plenaries, you're doing everything from amending constitution and bylaws, you're electing new officers, new leadership, you are going over, you're doing training.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things.
Well, it's safe to say you're there in spirit today.
I am there in spirit, but since you brought it up, I have to talk about our newest line of honorary members.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Have you heard?
I saw the list. We've got my girl from... First of all, from Jersey, Queen Latifah, the queen.
Dana Owens.
Of course. We've got my girl Fawn from Uncle Nearest.
That's
Fawn
right.
Weaver.
Yes.
Other great names on the list as well.
Danielle Brooks.
Okay.
Accomplished actor.
Come through, Danielle Brooks.
Yes. Donna Brazile.
Yes. Okay, Donna Brazile.
Do you know, you're familiar with Donna Brazile?
Of course. Political strategist.
Yes.
Hot mic
recipient. Yes, yes, yes. Like, it's just business leaders. Uh-huh. I'm forgetting all the names right now.
Yeah.
This is sad. Don't come for me, Soros.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just the caliber and the quality of people. It was their energy.
Yeah.
Like, they were excited and humbled about this opportunity.
So,
like,
real
there were
question.
Tears involved.
That's
it was
good.
It was
good.
Pretty dope.
So real question. I know you're a soror.
Yes.
Do y'all consider the honorary sorors full-fledged sorors? And additionally, will they know the founders? Will they know the whatever information that only the sorors know?
So honorary members are duly initiated and have all the rights and privileges of any other soror.
Very nice.
Member.
Very nice.
So there is something that they have to, there are things that they have to do.
So at this point, that's my goal, is to be an honorary fraternity member of some organization one day. Like, I want to be that successful.
So do your research.
Yep.
Because not all fraternities
Yeah.
Have honorary members.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
So
yeah,
there's that.
Yeah, my thing is like, look, I love fraternities and sororities. It was never something that I participated in.
You didn't fill the pool? But,
you know, listen.
That's fine.
God bless y'all. My wife's a soror of yours.
Of course.
And there's so many great women and men in the fraternities. And big shout to DST and the Divine Nine.
All good.
So.
It's a time in DC right now, though. I have a little bit of FOMO, but yeah, I know it wasn't. It's not my season to be there.
Yeah.
But virtual's not bad.
Always next year.
2 years from now.
Always two years from now.
The conventions happen every 2 years.
Okay. All right.
So at the conclusion of this convention, they will announce where the next one will be.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
It'll probably be on the West Coast or something.
All right, cool.
Anyway.
So today's subject. We have a client who is an entrepreneur and really proud of this client. Like, we helped this client to get into the business of owning a business. He was a corporate executive and he decided he had had enough and he wanted to be an entrepreneur. And a lot of these stories end well, and this one is ending well, but a little differently than the way he would have planned it.
Okay.
It's ending well in the sense that he's had a nice run, not in the corporate rat race. He's been able to live a dream by being a business owner, but it's not going great for him. But it's not going exactly the way he would have planned it. And so he's thinking about, we're helping him to think about ways to kind of right his financial ship. And one of his biggest assets is his home equity. And we were like, you know, maybe you should consider selling the house and downsizing.
Mm-hmm.
He loves his house though.
Right.
He's like almost got the house paid off. And so he on his own has been doing some research for what are some different ways that I could tap that home equity.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought it back to us. And I'm like,
why'd you grin when you said that?
Tap that.
Because you know what normally comes. It wasn't the grin, it was the pause. I know your 90s lingo. I've been knowing you for how long?
A long time.
Anyway.
A long time. We're like
keeping it PG.
Yeah, we're over 30. We're like 33 years in the game at this point, you and I. Or 34 years in the game, I think. It's a long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For real. For real, though.
Dang, you old.
So we're talking about how people can tap that home equity, because for a lot of folks, this comes up a lot. I'm sure the client we're talking about is not the only client you've had this conversation with about, hey, I've got this home equity. Shouldn't I be using it for something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my inner accountant is jumping up and down because, you know, when I talk about financial planning, the first step in the process is gathering documents and information. Mm-hmm. And so when you pull together and line up side by side what you own versus what you owe, you start looking at how can I use the stuff that I own to eliminate, reduce the stuff that I owe.
Yeah.
And it's often an overlooked asset, the equity in our homes. And sometimes we're just, because we're not interested in selling, we're not paying attention to what our home values are.
And it is a big asset. Right now, home equity in this country is at an all-time high. U.S. homeowners today have $35 trillion with a T in home equity right now.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's loot. That's loot. And home ownership rate, ironically, is at a low. Like, we're at 65% home ownership rate, which is lower than it was years ago, mainly because home affordability is not great for a lot of people, especially for the young folks who are entering into that realm where you would typically be buying a home.
Sure. Our youngins made sure they told us about that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. The average home.
They probably don't like that I referred to them as youngins either.
When I was young, I used to like being a youngin. And that's the thing that's kind of making me feel crazy now, not being able to call myself young so much anymore.
So, like, I didn't like being called a youngin.
Really?
Because I felt like it was dismissive of my abilities and contributions.
But you've always seemed mature. Like, not like old. Mature. Like, yo, you were like sophisticated.
Some maybe in the workplace or in places where I was in leadership at a young age, I didn't like being called a youngin. Because then I felt like it was being dismissive of my contribution.
So for me, it was like my identity, which is why I've been having a crisis.
Hey, young buck. Now you're an unk.
Yeah. I'm old head now.
I'm an auntie.
Like, I'm struggling with this.
I'm an auntie.
Yeah.
I'm referring to other people as aunties, and I'm like, oh, dang.
Yeah. You know what really was the final straw for me that made me just be like, I can't take this anymore?
You threw your back out.
No, it's the bifocal contacts, yo. Like, why do I have to wear these? Like, why do these exist?
Do you have bifocal contacts?
I absolutely do.
I tried them very recently.
Yeah.
I didn't like them. I'm like, I'm super nearsighted, so yeah. I wear the contacts to keep from having the Coke bottle glasses
yeah.
that I know I would need. And so we tried them, and I'm like, yeah, no. I couldn't adjust.
Yeah.
I couldn't adjust. I'd like hit the side mirror going into the garage. My depth perception was off. So I just wear glasses.
Yeah.
Reading glasses.
So, yeah, I'm good with being... I still consider myself young in some rooms, and I'm just going to claim it. I'm just going to claim it.
Yeah.
So let's get into this home equity a little bit more. So... the average home value in America is about $367,000. New homes on average are going for about $416,000. But if we look at the average home is worth about $370,000, let's just say, the average mortgage is only about $150,000. So on average, folks got like $200,000 in home equity.
Yeah.
Like that's money. Like that's real live money.
That's a real live money.
Yeah. You've owned multiple homes. Did you tap into your home equity in the past?
Most definitely, and more than once.
Yeah.
Because the simple math, we're probably going to get into more detail and scenarios as we go through this discussion, but the simple math really is, if you happen to, well, I'm going to talk about it from a debt reduction perspective.
Yeah.
If you owe money on, if you have loans or you owe money on anything, and the interest rate that you're paying on that exceeds the amount of interest you might pay on a home equity loan, then it kind of just makes sense.
Yeah.
You're restructuring your debt, basically. You're saying, I'm going to swap out this high interest rate debt for a lower interest rate debt.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost...
That was a refi you're talking about. I'm talking about
literally... If you have six figures of equity in your home, and you've got, and you also have some debt, but the interest rate that on the debt is higher than the rate you would pay on a home equity loan, then you're just swapping out a high interest rate loan for a low interest rate loan.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So you can pay it off faster and save money coming out your pocket in interest.
Yeah.
And maybe... You know.
Yeah, and I will say this, so depending on what types of things you're refinancing, I'm adding things now, because a lot of times folks will take home equity and use it to pay off a credit card. And then they wind up in more credit card debt. So like...
Yeah, no, you can't...
Yeah, we got to fix the problem too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the big thing like about home equity, I would say, is like you really got to treat it like cash, in the sense of some people treat it like it's funny money. Like it's just... mystery money. Like I'm using it and I'm going to be more reckless with this because it's like it doesn't feel real.
Oh no, you got to have a plan for what you're going to do with it.
Yeah.
And there's also the difference between a loan and a line. But are we getting into that?
No, we're getting of course. Into that. We're going all the way in. We're going to be tapping that home equity today.
And speaking of bifocal contact lenses, which I do not wear, I've got to put the reading glasses back on.
I ain't mad at you, Tupac. All right. So, interestingly, I talked about how folks need to be leery about just on a willy-nilly basis tapping the home equity. Only 15% of older homeowners said that they want to use their home equity as additional funds for retirement. 43% said maybe they would, but a good high percentage, 41%, said absolutely not. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too, because if you're older... You know, you still got to pay it back if you take a loan. And so if you need that equity to cover your expenses, then that situation could get worse.
Yeah. One thing I will say, it does say older people who filled out the survey. I will say when I was young, I was a homeowner at like my early 20s. I think I was 23 when I bought my house.
Same here.
And my home appreciated a lot really quickly. And then I learned about this thing called a HELOC.
Yeah.
Man, I ran that balance up so fast.
Ah.
I did things like I loaned people money. I bought a car with cash. Really, it was with my HELOC.
Yeah.
I made some investments that I would not have made if I were using my own money.
Interesting.
And again, like, as you get older, you get more mature, you realize, like, this is actually, like, real live money. Yeah. It needs to be treated with respect.
How old were you when you earned your MBA?
I went at 25. I graduated at 27.
Okay, so that was after.
Yeah.
After that. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So let's get back to these mortgages. So there are about 86 million mortgages outstanding in America, totaling $12.8 trillion. So a lot of mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
Most are first mortgages. 73 million are first mortgages. 13 million are second. And then there's about 500,000 reverse mortgages. What's your experience with reverse mortgages? Have you been a part of someone obtaining one?
Do you
think about it as a part of
very limited elderly family member. That was the right decision for them, but it makes sense for some people, but like with anything else, when it comes to financial planning, financial advising, it's not a one size fits all.
Yeah.
It might be the best option for some people. It might be the only option for some people.
Yeah.
But if you have other options, it's really about what are you going to use the asset for?
Yeah.
How are you going to use the money?
Yeah. We'll get into what reverse mortgages are a little bit later, but there's a lot of them. You know, they used to be like all the time you'd see them on TV. I think they've been like reined in a bunch. There used to be major banks like
the Tom Selleck commercial.
Yeah. It used to be a lot of banks that did these and they were marketed all the time. There's been a lot of banks that have pulled back from them. And I think it's probably kind of like one of those things that's a last resort for folks. I don't know if folks treat it that way, but I definitely think it should be.
Yeah, the reality is people are living longer. So the presumed short-term loan situation is turning out to be a longer-term loan situation. Word. So banks aren't always winning.
Yeah. And then there's HELOC. So we talked about the number of people that have second mortgages, first mortgages. There's about 13 million people with HELOCs. These are home equity lines of credit. The average balance on these lines of credit is about $30,000. And I will say, like, look, keeping it a buck, I was 23, 24 years old as a homeowner. By 27, I had six figures in home equity. I got a HELOC loan. It was like so easy. This is like pre-financial crisis.
Yeah.
You walk in to the bank, you walk out like in less than an hour with a checkbook in hand that you can use to unlock that home equity. I ran my bill up. I owed $100,000 on my HELOC within a couple of years.
And so that's the thing. And that is the distinguishing characteristic of a HELOC versus a home equity loan. A line of credit is just that. It's a line of credit. It's a place you can go. But if you, it's a place you can go to take care of some things if you're in a cash crunch.
Yeah.
But if you don't fix the issue that's causing the cash crunch, you're just going to be in higher debt.
Yeah.
I like HELOCs for people who get paid differently or especially when you can use them as a bridge as long as you have discipline and you make a concerted effort to pay down the line of credit.
Yeah. That's because you are mature, even though you're a young buck still. I'm going to call you young buck. I think that'll make you feel good. And it's true. And it's true. Young buck. I must just start calling you young buck.
What's the female equivalent to a young buck? Buckess? That doesn't sound right.
That sounds worse.
It does. I don't believe there is. I'm sorry. I cannot unhear Martin Lawrence. Which was the character that was the security guard? Young buck. Come here, young buck. He called everybody young buck. Otis. I can't unhear Otis.
Yeah.
He called every guy young buck.
Yeah.
I can't unhear it.
Yeah. He called people all kinds of names. Scallywag, young buck, whippersnapper.
Junk in the trunk.
now you get into my man. What's his name? Roman.
Oh, see, they're all Martin. So,
that's a fact. And then finally, there's this new, relatively new thing. And this is the thing that our client hit us up about that I've seen before, but literally never took the time to research. And it's called HEI, Home Equity Investment. And HEI is an equity investment that third parties can make in your home. And it sounds like a great idea because it's like, look, you can get a bunch of cash right now. You have no payments at all. And look, you just pay us back later when you sell your house.
So help me understand. This is, I've heard of this, but have no idea how it works. Like,
yeah.
Who are the parties here? Who's the borrower? Who's mm-hmm. the lender? Who's mm-hmm. making money?
But that's the thing. There's no borrower. Like, technically, these are equity investments. It's as if they...
It's like a person has an ownership share in my home.
Yes.
But do I have to authorize them to have an ownership share in my home?
Yes.
No?
You know what? Let's go to break and we come back. Let's go deeper into these HEIs because they are becoming more prevalent. They're being marketed and folks have to know about them. And we did a bunch of research that we want to share.
I'm curious. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. So we're back.
We are back.
I want to know what the H-E-L-L is, the H-E-I. I didn't know you were going to laugh that hard.
Because I thought you were about to say, what the hell? What the hell, Yante? What is this new song? What the hell, Hebron? Have you not heard this?
No. Who is it?
Oh, my God.
Who? Tell me who it is.
It's a rapper. Like, it's a young rapper from, I think he's from New Orleans, in fact.
I need to know.
What the hell?
Youngins?
What the helly?
Educate me.
What's the next one? What the hell are y'all taking?
See, you are the last person I expected to answer. I'm like, he's still young and innocent. He doesn't know.
What the hell, LeBron James? That's one of them too, right? I think we have young people in the studio with us today. We have a bunch of interns, college students.
But no, wait,
and
the youngest.
A young buck. We've got a true young buck in the house. My man KJ. Kyle Jr. is in the house, and he helped us out with the Heliante.
Yes, he did. That was unexpected, but thank you.
Yeah. So, HEIs, Home Equity Investments. So, for one, there's a number of companies that do this. I'm going to just list them. We're not going to, like, give you the details of each of them, but...
And they are not paying us.
Yeah, they are not. They are absolutely
We have no...
Not. And...
Vested interest in highlighting
they
them.
They should pay us because we're not endorsing these at all. Like,
correct.
In fact, I actually think it's a really, really bad idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got companies like Point, HomeTap, Unison. There's a bunch of these companies that are trying to share in your home equity.
Interesting.
Yeah. So here's how it works. And by the way, these are becoming really, really big.
Hmm.
So right now, there's only 2 to 3 billion, which is a lot. Of these home equity investments that have been made.
But it's a lot.
It's expected to grow to like, and that's annually.
Yeah, I need to understand how
it's
this
expected
works.
To grow to 200 to 300 billion per year. Home equity investment companies. So how does it work? So what you're basically doing is you're selling a portion of your home's future appreciation.
Mm.
So let's say I'll give you the best way is for me to give you an example in a second. So the best way is for me to give you an example. Let's say you have a home that's worth 500K. Let's say that you have a low loan balance. Let's say your loan is 300K. So you've got like 200K worth of equity. You could give one of these companies, TapDat or whatever the different companies are called. They're not banks, by the way. Anytime I'm getting a loan or money from a non-bank entity,
I'm side-eyeing.
My antenna go up.
Yeah.
Because what do I think? Less regulations.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, like the banking sector is regulated.
Guarantees.
Yeah. Like there's a lot less. Like this is the Wild Wild West a little bit. Like I didn't say JP Morgan. Not that these major banks are not robbing people too, but I'm saying like at least there's regulations for them,
sure.
Right? So imagine I got a 500K home, 300K traditional mortgage. So I have 200K in equity and I go to one of these companies and say, look, I want a cash payment of $50,000, which is about 10% of the value of the home. And of the equity, it's about 25% of my current equity. Now, what then happens is that they have a bunch of like, you know, rules and tips and tricks that will try to protect their interest. Meaning like if the home value depreciates, yeah, they'll lose money, but they're not going to lose money as much as you're going to lose. And if the home appreciates, they're definitely going to appreciate and earn sometimes dollar for dollar, sometimes it's more than dollar for dollar as the home appreciates. But just to give you an example, there's a Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, as you all know, and they
analyze it. We didn't get rid of this yet? I'm sorry. I can't ignore it, all the stuff that's happening like every hour. It's so ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
The funding is there at least through this week. Let's just say that. Okay.
It exists today.
But they analyze these things. And basically this example where the home tap company, home equity investment company gave you $50K, you will be giving them back anywhere between $94K and $215K when the home is sold.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And that is in 10 years, like in this example.
Yeah.
Now think about this. So I give you 50, mm-hmm. but I want back 200.
I would never do that deal in any other circumstance.
Word.
Yeah.
It's just that they're selling it by saying, well, look, Andrea, you don't have any payments.
Right.
There's no interest rate.
Right.
It's not a loan.
Yeah.
You can't get foreclosed on.
It's the same as a car dealer
mm-hmm.
saying, don't worry that this car is $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
You're only going to pay every month, except I get it in the case of the HEIs, there's no payment. You're only going to pay $250 a month.
Meanwhile, you're buying this car over 25 years.
Yeah, exactly. You're financing it over that many years, or ultimately, your $250 a month payment is going to take, it's going to, cost you, that $50,000 car is actually going to cost you $100,000. Or in the case of these HEIs, apparently $200,000.
But just think about this for a second. So we know the rule of 72 in finance. For those that don't know, it basically says if the interest rate is 7.2%, then my money will double every 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if I took out a loan
at
a 7.2% rate and I didn't make any payments, my $50,000 loan would be, I would owe then $100,000 in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying that in this case, it could be $200,000 inside of 10 years, which implies that these interest rates are 15, 18, 20%.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that they're now part of your equity appreciation. Like the thing about buying a home that's beautiful is like, I love the fact that when I buy a home, I've got a fixed mortgage payment. And I know that that home's going to be paid off one day. And if I'm lucky and if my home appreciates, then I'll benefit from that. So when I take on a loan, a debt, even though I don't like being in debt, I know that I get to keep the upside, right? Mm-hmm. When I take on one of these HEI investments, I'm giving away a lot of upside.
Yeah.
And I don't like that because I know, you know this, equity is way more expensive than debt.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if people realize that. Because what's crazy, when you go to these websites, there's no like pros and cons even. They just have FAQs.
There's no warnings. There's no,
no kind of warnings.
Yeah.
There's no regulator requiring them to give you notice, to give you the warnings that you get on credit cards, et cetera.
So who are these investors? Are they people? Are they institutions?
I mean, it's companies.
Yeah.
Maybe there's hedge funds.
Yeah.
Right? Like mm-hmm. anytime I see a non-bank making a loan or doing something that feels like a loan, mm-hmm. I always just think hedge funds. I always think on the other side of that transaction,
that
there's the Wolf of Wall Street. They're looking to take advantage of my, you know what?
That makes sense.
They're trying to tap that. I'm not trying to get tapped. So other things that make, you know, that they're using to sell these things are saying, look, you don't have any income requirements. In some cases, there's no credit requirement. But
yeah, because there's no payments.
Yeah. So who are the folks that they're targeting? Really folks with a lot of equity in their homes that don't have a lot of cash. Which again, going back to the story I told you about with this client, his biggest asset on his balance sheet today is his home equity. His business is struggling, so clearly his cash balances are low. And that's why this popped up for him in his Google searches.
Hmm.
Also, folks that have poor credit, right? Like they may not have an opportunity to go get a home equity loan or a line of credit. Other people that might be targeted for this, folks that maybe need to do some renovations to their home and just don't have the ability to take on traditional financing. And again, it feels like funny money. All I do is sign some papers and you give me a check for $50,000 right now?
Yeah, but like, so the $50,000 that you get,
mm-hmm.
When it's time to give up the appreciation, what are the stats like around? I mean, it's not a loan, so it's not a default. Like, I would imagine that's a lot of legal stuff that's happening.
I got to give you a horror story because you know they're out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got to tell you a horror story. So there's this company called Unison.
Mm.
That sounds great. Like, we're going to be.
Sounds like we're all.
We're going to be
together.
As one.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like getting married. We're going to be in unison. We want to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. So, and they've been in this market since 2006. And what's crazy, these things have been around for a minute. Like, this horror story I'm telling you is 19 years ago. And there's a bunch of folks down in Florida that have filed a class action lawsuit against this company.
Florida.
Well, you know, there's Florida, man. So he's a part of that.
Yeah.
But Florida, New York, Ohio, multiple class action lawsuits. And one of the big things that they're saying is that these are basically loans that are being like masquerading like they're not. And the class action suit really spoke to the fact that these companies are misrepresenting themselves. Again, making it seem like it's an investment when in reality, it is a loan. And because again,
it's an investment for them.
If it was a loan, you've got usury laws, you've got banking protection. But again, they're skirting these laws by making these things structured as mm-hmm. something else.
Mm-hmm.
Things that they've avoided, interest rate caps, which exist on all mortgages. Like even if you have a floating rate mortgage, there's a cap on how much the interest rate could increase in a period of time. There's mandatory disclosures. There's consumer protections. There's a lot of things that would protect you if you were in a mortgage. And the big one, though, is the fact that the balance due, again, is not a loan, but the balance due back to that company, it can balloon dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
Way more than what you expected. In particular, if you don't sell the house for 20 years, 25
right?
years.
Yeah.
Like, I look at my home, like, I'm very blessed. Like, my home value is appreciated by a lot in a mm-hmm. short amount of time. Like, if I was desperate and took out one of these things, I could owe a lot of money one day.
It just, I mean, to spend all that time paying down your mortgage, and then when it's finally paid off, then it's like, yeah you're actually not going to make any money because now you owe us.
Yeah.
That's.
So, yeah. So, that's the HEI. What the HEI, what the Heliante is up with them, those HEIs.
Man.
So let's talk about reverse mortgages. These are another financial product that gets marketed to folks who need access to their cash.
Sure.
But they don't want to make a payment back.
Yeah.
And again, it feels like the thing to do. And by the way, as a financial planner, I do keep these in my back pocket.
Yeah.
And when I say they're in my back pocket, meaning I would use them in a rare circumstance if it was warranted as
yes.
a very last resort. First of all, with reverse mortgages, you're only allowed to get them if you're over the age of 62, which, you know, sometimes people that are older feel like, oh, look, they're looking out for me. But then others are like, they targeted me.
They ain't never looking out for you.
Yeah. And our older folks
said they ain't never.
That's right.
But that's sometimes really
you got
how
to,
it is.
Sometimes you got to get there. So let's talk about these reverse mortgages. So they came out in 1961. By 1988, the government started to regulate them a bit more, and they started to increase a bunch. The way they work is basically you can get either a lump sum cash today in exchange for your home equity. And in order to do it, you've got to have a significant amount of equity.
Yes.
So going back to that example with 500K home, 300K mortgage, that might not be enough. I think it's got to be at least 50% equity mm-hmm. in the home. So imagine you had 250 loan, 500K home value.
Mm-hmm.
You could then maybe qualify for a reverse mortgage. But basically, they give you that 50,000 and they basically say, look, you can either take it in one lump sum, or we could even give you a monthly check for like $3,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll keep giving you that money as long as the math works, as long as they have not put you upside down. And the pros of a reverse mortgage is, yes, you get the money right now. Yes, there may not be any payments. In fact, there aren't any payments. You could structure it as a lump sum or as monthly payments. But the con is that you've got a loan that is at an interest rate that's typically higher than regular mortgages. And that balance then is growing, and that compound interest is compounding.
Crazy.
And who are you really robbing? You're robbing your beneficiaries, the folks in your will. Right? We've seen this. I'm sure you've seen this, Andrea. Somebody dies, and at one point, the home was paid off completely. The kids are like, hey, you know, we're looking forward to splitting up. You know, of course, you're sad, but you're looking forward to splitting up what mom or dad may have left. And then you get that letter saying, oh, there was a reverse mortgage. Oh, even though the home you could probably sell for $500K, the balance is now $400K.
Yeah.
And that's the downside to reverse mortgages. It really is robbing that beneficiary because, yes, you get access to the money today. Another benefit, you can never be supposedly evicted or foreclosed upon with a reverse mortgage. But at the same time, your heirs are going to lose out. Now, look, if I don't have any...
Some people are like, dang them kids.
Word. If I'm single, no kids, right? And I just want to, you know, live my last days.
Or I have kids and I'm like, dang them kids.
Or bump those kids.
Yes.
I'm sure some of our listeners have said that sentiment before. Then, yeah, reverse mortgage is probably not a horrible idea. You just have to know what you're getting yourself into. You also have to understand that you're dealing with kind of a shadier corner of the financial industry. You're not dealing with brand name banks that you're accustomed to. Mm-hmm. Terms are going to be a little shadier. You're going to need to probably talk to a couple different banks. And it's a last resort, right? Like things I would do before getting a reverse mortgage. Downsize.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you in a 7-bedroom house by yourself? Why are you living in Jersey by yourself when there's plenty of good homes down in Georgia?
Or not Georgia.
Or New Orleans. Or Mississippi.
Lord, can we just go a little bit further south? Can we go to Delaware or Virginia?
No, we got to take it down
North
to
Carolina.
Texas.
Why we got to go Texas? Deep south?
Can we go to Texas? Can
just
we?
Saying.
Can we take a look down in Missouri? There's a lot of places you can buy for cheaper. So that would be my first recommendation.
Yeah, every situation is different, you know. Yeah. People want to be near their families, wherever their health center is.
Yeah.
And don't want to change up too much.
Yeah. And then there's traditional ways that people typically tap their home equity. HELOCs, we talked about earlier, home equity line of credit. This is when you...
I like them.
Yeah, you get basically like a credit card almost. And you you know, they might give you a line for $100K. You could use $3,000 of it. And you're only paying interest on the $3,000.
It's bridging for me.
Yeah.
You remember that time back in the day when we used to get paid quarterly?
Yeah. I remember the bad old days.
But then Ivy League tuition installments.
Yeah, they hit monthly.
they hit monthly.
I know what you mean. Yep.
It's like... I'm good, but I'm not good on the 3rd. I'm good on the 10th.
Yeah.
So, HELOC. You know, use it for that, and then you get paid, you just pay right back.
Yep. HELOC was just good to me back in the day. It was crazy. I borrowed $110,000 in my first HELOC.
Yep.
I started with 40, and then I just kept asking for more, and they kept giving it to me.
Mm-hmm.
My payment was $255 a month.
Yeah.
For $100,000 back in the day.
Yeah.
So... rates today aren't like they were back in the day.
They are not.
The rates on HELOC today is about 8.3% on average.
But again, if you are not just doing frivolous spending, if you're paying for something that, if you've already borrowed money and you're paying a higher interest rate than the HELOC, then you're restructuring your debt to pay lower interest and save you money over time.
Sure.
If you're using the money from the HELOC to... just do your regular spending. If you don't get your spending under control, it's not going to feel good.
Hello.
Yeah. Word. So you still got to have a plan when you do these things.
Yeah. And I will say HELOC rates, we said 8.3. Mm-hmm. There's also second mortgages.
Yeah.
Now, a second mortgage is when you get a big lump sum all at once. Typically, the term will be a little bit lower. Maybe it's a 20-year term, not a 30-year term.
15.
Maybe it's a 15, maybe it's a 10.
I've seen 15.
Yeah. The advantage to the second mortgage is that, you know, again, it's based on your home equity. It may not really be based on your credit a whole lot. It's an amortizing loan, so that means you'll get it paid off over time. The thing about the HELOC, I kept that HELOC in place for a long time, and the balance never went down. Like 20 years later, I still owed $110,000. That means I paid off my car using a HELOC.
Right.
I didn't even have the car anymore. Wow. I had already gotten rid of the car,
yeah.
and I'm still paying that interest towards it. So one advantage to a second mortgage is that it's an amortizing loan, meaning you are killing off
right.
or paying off that loan over time.
Yeah.
And rates today on home equity loans also in the eights. So again, yeah. not great. So be super mindful. Be careful mm-hmm. with this.
So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some more uses for these types of loans and end with advice like we always do. I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
We're still tapping that home equity.
Yes, that's what we're tapping.
I am a 12-year-old boy inside.
Yes, I am aware.
I asked my son the other day, because my son is like 6'3". He's 16 years old. And I was like, yo, let me ask you a question. Do you feel like...
Dang, he's still growing.
Yeah, I was like, yo, do you feel like... you're more mature, or did you just get bigger? He's like, Dad, I just got bigger.
Like I'm the same
my
kid.
My kid is like 7 years old still in so many ways.
Mm.
And for a lot of us adults, we're still in the seventh grade.
Yep.
So just bigger, little gray hair,
mm-hmm.
bifocal contact, dye in
Speak
the hair.
Speak for yourself.
So
for the record, though, I just want to put all the stylists on notice. If I am at your salon, and I am scheduling my next appointment as I'm checking out, do not ask me if I need to schedule for a gray cover.
Lord.
Here's
Wait,
why.
Do not ask me publicly or don't ask me at all?
Don't ask me at all when you really? Have my service history at your fingertips. First of all, I know. It's just one of those things that bothers me.
Yeah.
So the presumption is that I color my hair to cover gray.
Yeah.
The second thing is, I don't have that much gray.
Yeah.
It's okay. not a thing. Like, in my family, the yeah. women, we gray later, but we gray fast.
Yeah. Now, hold on. Are you talking to, like, you could be, like, challenging the grays in your hair right now. Like, wait, say what now?
Yeah. Well, I
you
mean,
don't have that much?
I okay. don't have that much.
We'll fix that.
I have more than I did last year, but yeah. I don't have that much gray. It's yeah. all concentrated in, like, around the edges in the front. Whatever.
I've got more than I would like. And
it's fine.
I may or may not be dyeing my hair at this point.
Whatever.
May or may not be.
But from a set, I get it. Salespeople, you got to upsell stuff.
Yeah.
So why don't you look at my history and ask me, oh, do you want us to schedule you for a protein treatment?
Yeah.
Or, you know, a ponytail?
Yeah.
Or, you know, do you want to do braids again?
Yeah.
Don't ask me about scheduling
yeah.
gray cover when I've never done that.
Mm.
I'm okay. just saying, if you're going right. to upsell me, look at my services okay. and ask me, do I want to schedule
Not
that
I go to a salon.
Okay.
But ask me quietly. Okay? Text me and ask me that question. Don't ask me in front of all these people.
That's also true. And I know they're trying to book the next
yeah,
appointment, so they
course.
Keep
yeah.
generating revenue. I get it.
I
but
got you.
I'm like, I never understood that.
So since my brother does listen to the podcast, my brother's gray in the mustache now. Which is a new level of gray that I don't like for him or me
oh,
in the future. So,
okay.
Yeah, like I feel like gray beard is cool. Like
but
temples is cool. The mustache is when you are really looking like OG at that point.
I don't think I've ever really
It just started
thought
turning.
About it.
Yeah, my brother just started turning and I was like, yo, that's exactly what I'm not going to do. The gray mustache. I love my brother. Big shout out to him. And
Alan,
we gray
think,
early.
I think you got a little gray in your mustache, bro.
A little.
The real problem would be if I had a gray mustache.
Oh, Lord. Let's get back to the show. So silly. I can't take it.
I can be silly too.
All right. So we were talking about tapping that home equity. What are some of the reasons why folks tap their home equity? Home improvements. I think that's a great reason to do that.
Of course. The thought is either your home is going to appreciate from the improvements that you're going to make.
Yeah.
But even if it doesn't, if you're going to be around long enough to enjoy whatever improvements you make, makes you happy.
Yeah. Avoid the tacky ones, I'd say. Like, we talked about that with our homegirl,
yes,
Kim Primus, the other day.
Yeah.
Like, make home improvements that are going to not just make you feel better, but that will improve the value of the home. Like, bathrooms, kitchens, like, you know.
If you're going to sell it one day, if you have no intentions to sell it, do you? I'm just saying.
I'm friends with this CEO of a company, and he was all about the brand. He had the brand tattooed on his neck. So all over his whole house, he had that, that logo. And his initials.
Really?
Yes.
That is.
That house sat on the market for like 2 years.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
To cover up. That's a lot. That's really being invested.
It is. And then.
Off air, you have to tell me what this is.
Private equity bought a minority stake, then a majority stake, and they kicked his butt out. I wonder if he still has that tattoo if he covered it up.
Wow.
Because it was funny. This is a franchise. So he would be like, yo, look, you think I'm not down with this company? Look right here. And he had the tat right on the back of his neck, and now his butt is out.
I hope he doesn't listen, because you just...
Oh, he definitely does not listen.
Okay, but all right.
God bless him.
Yeah.
God bless him anyway. Mm. Debt consolidation, we talked about this earlier. Like, if you're going to use your home equity, which is very precious, to do things like pay off credit cards, understand that you're doing a couple things. One, you are giving, you know, you're risking your home. Like, these loans, a lot of these loans can result in you being foreclosed upon. A credit card is never going to make you homeless. Like, it can make you file bankrupt, but you won't lose your home. So now, if I take my credit card debt and pay it off with my home equity, I'm now risking my home. Understand that. Understand also that I'm taking...
Again, you got to have a plan. Like, what is your plan to pay off this debt? You should have had a plan to pay it off in the first place.
Yeah.
And if you're consolidating, hopefully you're paying less or you're simplifying your life. There's some other benefit, but... You still got to have a plan.
Word. Understand, I went from an unsecured to a secured loan.
Yeah.
And again, unsecured, higher rates, but they could do less stuff to you. They can't take anything away from you on an unsecured loan.
We didn't talk about that when we talked about credit. We didn't talk about secured versus unsecured.
Yeah.
It's okay. We can't cover everything.
Yeah. Well, we've done it in the past.
So okay.
Go back and listen to episode 36, I'm sure. Or 43 or 17.
You know it's going to be that one person that's like, it was episode 77. Thank you very much.
Other reasons. Education costs. I don't love when folks use home equity for education costs, unless it's the way you did it, where it was just a short-term thing. It's a bridge until I get paid. But like, again, they've got loans for college. That if you don't pay it back, you won't lose your house.
Right. But I'm going to give you something else to think about, though.
Okay.
Let's say you have a student loan.
Okay.
And the interest rate is 15%.
Sheesh.
You could do but your home equity loan, and you've got multiples of six figures of equity in your home.
Yeah. Okay. Going back to debt consolidation or paying off a debt. If I'm going to be responsible, if my employment is secure, if my prospects are good, then yeah, but just be careful with these things.
Right.
Like my issue with the debt consolidation, again, like, and I'll tell you from the, I'm the guy that was not good with debt back in the day. I would pay off my credit card and then run them back up.
Yeah.
So when I counsel folks today and I tell them to use their home equity to pay off credit cards, I say only do this if you're also willing to cut up the cards or put them in a safe and not spend on credit cards anymore.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If you're going to still be out there wilding, then like, leave your home alone.
Right.
Emergency expenses. I don't like this because like, yo, you're supposed to have an emergency fund. Like,
right. This is not in lieu of it having an emergency fund.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just not.
Business expenses. Again, you're risking your house for this.
Yeah.
They've got business loans out there.
Mm-hmm.
They might be a little harder to get. Rates might be a little worse.
I will say this, though, although not for the primary use, I do encourage people to who have significant equity. I mean, like 50% or more, or maybe, a line of credit just might be something nice to have, because a line of credit is not an outright loan.
Yeah.
It only turns into a loan, or a portion of it turns into a loan, if you actually use the line of credit. But it's always easier to get one when you have income than to try to get one when you see something coming on the horizon.
That's a fact.
And so I am a, but also you got to know yourself, or in the case of clients, we have to know our clients to know if they can handle a line of credit and use it responsibly. I'm just, I have a client who is a friend, and I won't say too much because I'm not sure if they're a listener or not. And we own our home free and clear. Mm-hmm. And we took a severance package from our corporate job. And we were relatively young when this happened. Okay. And I said, do me a favor. Before you, whether you decide to stay on or come back or do something else later, just get a home equity line of credit. Yeah. You can get one right now while you're still getting paid.
Smart.
And if you never use it, you never use it.
No harm,
and
no foul.
We said to me, no thanks. I know how to manage my money. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to owe anybody. And I said, oh, no, it's not owing. It's only there.
It's an option.
If something comes up and let's say you decide to return to work and it happens later than you preferred.
Yeah.
This was before the pandemic. We got into a tax situation.
Lord.
We owed property taxes.
Lord.
We sold investments to cover it, but at least those investments had grown.
Jesus.
So that we weren't tapping into the principal.
Yeah.
But I was kind of like.
Yeah. It would have been nice having that line of credit out there. Yeah.
Then you wouldn't have to do the rush sale. Yeah. And we had to sell some things that we had sentimental ties to just to get it done. But, you know, it was just one of those things. Like, we recommend things all the time. But at the end of the day, the clients get to choose what to do with their own money. But it was a tough situation to have to part with some of those investments.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, we're okay.
When you sell an investment, I mean, you're giving up the upside too. You know?
Yes.
That's the thing that. Again, debt is cheaper than equity. If I'm selling stock, I'm giving away the upside as well.
Yeah.
The debt, you know what I'm saying? Like that's going to be preferable.
We sold a little bit of everything, so we still got some.
God bless her. I'm sure she got there. I'm sure she's back on top.
Why? I said they. You said she.
God bless them. You did say we and they, and I'm sorry.
It's all good.
God bless him or her or them and all of them. Okay.
Right. We mean this with the best of intentions and respect.
Yeah, I will say they're not talking about your client. There's definitely times when we give advice and our advice gets ignored. And we later, you can't dance on a client's grave.
But never do it.
But you're like, I want to say I told you
something. In the back of your mind, we will never do it.
Yeah. I have a client that I told him in like 20, it was like 2021, 2020, somewhere in that time frame. I'm like, yo, you've got an adjustable mortgage, an adjustable business loan.
An ARM.
Mm-hmm. It was a security-based loan. I was like, look, you could fix it for three and some change. And the adjustable rate was like two and some change. He's like, no, I don't think rates are going up. And I was like, look, here's what happens when you know what I'm saying, the economy is in a different cycle. Rates could go up to 5-6%, which would make your rate 7-8%. He's like, nope, let it ride. I went back like, you sure? And now we're in this spot right now.
Yeah.
Brother ain't returning my calls.
Yeah.
Still a client, but like.
Yeah.
Yeah. God bless him. God bless him.
It's good.
We'll get through it. So let's get back into these situations where you might consider either refinancing or taking out a second mortgage or a HELOC. So first, if you've got good credit, if you get access to maybe a better rate, like I'm actually going through a refinance right now because I got an ARM, a 5-year ARM, because that's the best choice at that time.
Yeah.
And my timing is bad. And now my rate, I could do more than 1% better to refinance. Mm-hmm. Even though rates are sky high, like my ARM was that bad. Mm-hmm. And so my credit's good enough. The rate's going to be materially better. I'm going through with this refi. I'm also doing another ARM because I do actually truly in my heart believe that rates will be lower in the future. Yeah. And maybe my credit's better, and maybe I'm getting a 15-year the next time. Other situations.
So Alan, we talked about when you might want to do it. How about when not to do it?
Yeah, if your interest rate's no bueno, like if it's going to cost you more. Additionally, what folks don't think about, they only focus on the payment.
Yeah.
People don't realize you're adding term.
Yes.
I might be 10 years from paying off my home. I now get a 30-year mortgage. Now I'm in debt for the next 30 instead of 10.
Yeah, that's a full-on refi, but that's something to be considered. You have to think about that. I know we are getting low on time, but let me tell you it's something that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense from a marketing perspective, but it's like y'all can't be – somebody in this marketing department has to be smarter or talk to the people in the lending department. I have significant equity in my home.
Yeah.
And I keep getting offers to refinance from my lender. Okay. My lender has made it clear that they're not doing HELOCs.
Okay.
But they keep sending me these offers to refinance. Yeah. Now, I did, at the time when I was getting these offers, I had a first and a second mortgage.
This is actually you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm actually talking about me. Okay. I had a first and a second mortgage, and they were asking me to refinance. I'm just like, if I refinance, I'm not only starting the term over, but I'm going to refinance at a higher rate. Like, I'm not so pressed for cash that I would ever do this.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why I was on their list.
Yeah. Well, one thing you got to realize.
Unless they thought I was desperate for cash, which I wasn't.
The bank does not have a fiduciary relationship with you.
Yeah.
The bank is not your financial planner. They're looking out for themselves. When a mortgage is almost paid off or has only 15 years left, they've got every incentive to get you to refinance to a longer term. So they're going to keep asking.
Yeah.
And if you're foolish, you're going to bite.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful not taking every offer just because it's going to make your payment lower. Like, you might not even need your payment lower.
They still sending it. I'm like, dude, my rate is less than 4%. I know I can't get that right
Word.
Now.
Like, yo.
I would not do this.
Think I'm stupid. And they really think they're just stupid and they're trying to play you.
No, they're just
playing in your face. I don't like it.
They're thinking we're not thinking. It's like rewards programs. They're banking on you not cashing in your rewards.
So bottom line.
Anyway.
If you're going to tap that, think about it first. That home equity.
That's great advice
yeah.
that you can apply to any situation.
Give it some thought. I wish we had more time, but this was a good conversation. And big shout out to the homie James Mathis from William & Mary, class of 2026.
There's our applause button.
He did a lot of the research for today. He's one of our many interns. We got so many
interns.
He's
looking very proud. Yeah, oh my gosh.
We're giving all of our interns the opportunity to write a podcast for us.
Yes, thank you.
James was the first to do it, and I think he did an amazing job.
Yep.
And
he wasn't the first.
We had others. I mean, this summer, I think.
This summer, yes.
We had others in the past.
Shout out, James.
Yeah, I think he did a bang-up job.
Yep.
And big shout out to Willis. We never shout Willis out, but Willis is our executive producer. He does all the
just
editing.
A thank you to Willis, because he has to listen to all of our side conversations and the unedited raw version. And Willis, I'm guessing you either laugh or you roll your eyes at us.
Maybe both
at the same time.
At the same time.
Thank you.
Keep listening.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.